Hey everybody, welcome to Surface Level, creating a community where Black and queer folks are fearless in thought and curious at heart. I'm one of your hosts, Tony, and today, Jordan, Damon, and I are discussing sexual experiences without borders. How sexually liberated have we allowed ourselves to be in the face of judgment? What pet peeves do we have as it relates to our safe spaces? This is Sexual Healing. All right, y'all.
All right, I like the title.
Yes, wake Sexual
up, wake
Healing.
Up, wake up, wake up.
Get up.
So well, I'm glad that it seems that the girls are familiar with the song.
Of course.
By the legendary Marvin Gaye.
Just the song,
not the actual act.
No, that's a foreign concept.
That's why I'm wearing white.
Oh, yeah. She's a virgin. She's a born again virgin.
Dipped in red.
Yeah, white dipped in red. So, speaking of Marvin Gaye and the song, I thought that we'd play a game called Sexual Healing and see how familiar the girls are with the actual lyrics from the song.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, let's start with this. I'm hot just like A, a coven, B, your lovin', or C, an oven.
Your lovin'.
What's your guess?
Yeah, it's that. Yeah. It's your lovin'.
You're both wrong.
What?
Do you have? It's the oven. I'm hot just like an oven.
It's not like your lovin'.
No, and that's why I purposely made all of them sound similar to trick the girls. I thought this was gonna be easy for y'all. No,
I really thought that.
I don't even know what part of the verse, what part of the song that's in.
Baby, I'm hot just like an oven.
First line of the song.
Is
it the opening line?
I don't know where that comes.
So next, makes me feel so fine. Helps A, me blow my mind. B, relieve my mind. Or C, sustain my mind.
Blow my mind.
The second one. What's the second?
Ding, ding, ding. Damon got it right. Makes me feel so fine. Helps me relieve my mind.
Oh, yeah. All right now.
The funny thing is I thought it was ease my mind. And the only reason I picked that word is because it had an E in it. Or an E sound in it.
Relieve and ease, you know, very close. Very close. All right, next one. Mm. I got sick this morning. A sea was storming. A, inside of me. B, on top of me. Or C, around me.
Say that again, please.
That's the bridge.
I got sick this morning.
It's the extended version.
A sea was storming. A, inside of me. B, on top of me. Or C, around me.
Inside me, I guess.
Ooh.
I don't know.
On top of me.
Damon got it right because she's nasty. Wow. Yes, a sea was storming. Inside of me. Hmm. Yeah. All right, so. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Cause A, you are so fine. B, you do it right. Or C, you ease my mind. Yes. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
What are the options?
You're so fine.
A, you are so fine. B, you do it right. Or C, you ease my mind.
You're so fine.
Jordan, you're stuck.
A.
No, it's B. You do it right. Cause you do it right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, all right. Baby. Ooh, baby.
You got the answers in front of you. What you mean?
Because this one is so it's giving. I think I'm A, capsizing, B, climaxing, or C, coming.
Ooh. What part of the song is this? Can you sing leading up into it?
Let me see.
You warmed up.
I don't know if I'm familiar with I don't want to get the actual melody wrong. But it's baby. I think I'm capsizing, climaxing, or C coming.
Climaxing.
Capsizing.
Yes.
Because it was a storm.
There you go.
So now the boat is.
Come on, context.
Come on. Yeah. So now the boat is. It's the motion in the ocean.
Exactly.
All right. So last one.
SAT skills coming up because I did not know that answer.
You're my medicine.
Really low on the SAT.
Open up. You're my medicine. Open up and A, sliding in. B, coming in. Or C, let me in.
let me in?
You're my medicine. Open up and A, sliding in. B, coming in. Or C, let me in.
Let me in.
Ding, ding, ding.
The girls like, right. Lord, what kind of lyrics are they writing in 19?
Back in the day, they wasn't that vulgar. I was if it was like, 2022, I would have been like, it would have been like.
The sexual, it's the sexual innuendos for me all through the song. I was like, oh, this is a nasty, oh, nasty number.
Yeah, they had to beat around the bush back then on the radio.
They did. Wasn't beating that far around the bush.
Now,
beating the bush up.
They was in the bush, shacking up. So I want you to fill in the blank. Sexual healing is...
therapeutic.
That's what do you mean?
Just a lyric? Just for you, baby. Just for you. What is sexual healing for you? Sexual healing is
life.
Sexual healing is freedom.
Hella ridiculous.
All right. So we're gonna have a conversation about obviously sexual liberation and our journey to that. So I think it's really helpful if we start off with this. So how has the trajectory of your sexual experiences been impacted based on how willing you are to let go versus how much you care about being judged? Tony, let's start with you.
I think that for me, when it comes to like my sexual experiences, especially younger, like coming into myself and figure out who I am, I think I allowed a lot of just nervousness and anxiety get to me as it relates to like me being sexual and delving into different sexual experiences. There was a time when I did often think about like how people would judge me, how people would perceive me, what people, you know, might have to say, what chatter might be going on. And that really kind of put me into a box. An unhealthy box, because you know, you have all that pent up energy and is giving like
the box is gonna explode
at some point. It combusts. It capsized.
It combusts.
We are in a third grade classroom.
We got our professor with our glasses on over there.
Yeah, and I feel like I allowed, you know, just my thoughts to get the best of me, and I'm glad that over time I've come out of that shell and really have allowed myself to not care about what others think, allowed myself to just be more free and more honest with what I want sexually and what I allow myself to participate in. Because I do realize that a lot of girls pass judgment on things, and a lot of times those same girls that are passing judgment are participating in the worst way. But not the worst way, because it's like the best way.
The ultimate.
You know, the ultimate. The ultimate. Feel like it's a lot of projection, and when I realized that part of it, I was like, you know what, I can't allow what others think dictate how I'm going to show up sexually.
Demar,
how about you, Demar?
You know, for me, I think that I was the only thing really ever impeding myself sexually, and it was just like me being comfortable with who I was, and like internal shame, because like once I got over that, and I never really gave a fuck about what other people around me thought. For me, I think any level of exploration was just like me internalizing things that I've been taught growing up around sex, around it being negative, particularly queer sex. And like the idea that like somebody cared what I was doing or somebody would see me acting in a way has never necessarily bothered me as much. Like I've never been one of those people that put all these stipulations on how you can be sexual and when you can be sexual, like who you can be sexual with, and like what if this person knows about it, who gives a fuck. And I think a lot of a lot of the apprehension was just like a me thing. And I think there are still times when like, well, maybe not as much, but there were times when I was still working through some of those things past me being like really, really young. But like the concept that somebody else would put something on, or like particularly other queer people would put something on me and make me feel shame about it, I never really cared about that. Like even with my straight friends, like I'll talk to them about conquest.
There you go.
And such. Because I'm just like, why should I be afraid to take a space? You do.
Exactly.
You talk about whatever you all are doing and wherever you're doing it. So I can dip and do as well.
But that's what I think also realizing is that in those spaces, when sexual spaces or when you're just out and you're being concerned about what others think, a lot of times it's like you look around and everyone is doing the same thing. So
I'm just like, you here too.
And you are also
and in you it. In it too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying there. And also going back to like you being raised and brought up in the church, like that shame and stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Child puts the girls in the only box and is given. You did the unboxing.
Right. Right. Tore that box up. Set it to play.
Ripped it apart.
Beat that box out of there. Jordan.
No, I think that, you know, you both kind of touched on it, but it's a fact that so many people in our community associated shame or still associate shame with sexuality and sex. You know, you grow up hearing that it's bad, and it's particularly bad if you're, you know, homosexual, mm-hmm. and all these things can happen. So I think that for me personally, that impacted the way in which I viewed myself as a sexual person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in my 20s, Damon and I talked about it a lot. I did care a great deal about people caring about like my sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much like the general public, but like the people who I was actually having sex with.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do this thing where I would group guys into two buckets,
mm-hmm.
For the greater part of my 20s. And it's funny because I did some research on it afterwards because I thought it was really an issue. But Sigmund Freud identified this psychological thing as a Madonna whore complex.
Madonna whore.
Madonna whore.
This conversation.
I remember I talked to you about, like, I think that I suffer from this. And it's essentially saying that, like, I had guys that I put into a bucket that I would allow myself to have fun, casual sex with.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a bucket of guys who I would allow myself to explore long-term committed relationships with. And they didn't intersect.
Right.
So the people who I desired, they're, you know, I didn't have fun. Uh-huh. And with the people who I had fun with, I didn't desire.
And then it was a mental thing that you allowed to like separate the two.
Yeah. And it was mostly because I felt like I was hypersensitive when I was dating, that if I came off as somebody who was hypersexual,
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
that I would be less attractive to that person as a partner.
This explains a lot.
Child, we lived together when she discovered this, so I remember these conversations.
This explains so much, because I remember just being like, well, why won't you allow yourself to like run right. free and wild with this person? And be like, I don't want them to think X, Y, and Z. Was like, child.
I'm like, that's exactly child, what I want you to think.
It's
about
upsetting me and my homegirl.
No, it was.
Take me seriously. I want you to think I'm gonna fuck the shit out of you.
See, and for me, I couldn't merge the mm-hmm. two, and it was really difficult for me. I even had instances where people thought that I was a virgin.
I remember
like,
that.
When I was dating them, I was like acting like a nun. But meanwhile, like I was like
had a prayer cloth on.
That's why she got on white too.
Mother had her praying claw.
And so, yeah, I think that was, I really cared a lot about that. Whereas fast forward to today, I find that I have a ceiling to how much I'm willing to experience somebody sexually if I don't have that connection. Mm. So now I kind of need, you know, for there to be some level of investment
mm-hmm.
in a relationship and in a rapport for me to get past a certain level to try things that maybe I wouldn't be comfortable doing otherwise with a stranger. So it kind of flipped a little bit where it's like now I want to explore
right.
healthy sexual relationships.
Prima donna.
All right. Well, speaking of, you know, being unapologetic and just being more confident in your sexuality, I think that there's a lot of thought around the fact, or not the fact, there's a lot of thoughts and opinions that white queer folks that are more sexually expressive
mm-hmm.
Or allowed to be more sexually expressive than communities of color. How do you think that communities of color can maintain a safe space for sexual expression without judgment? And do you think that we can handle it? Damon, let's start with you.
Can I handle it? Yes.
Can we handle it? We know you can handle it.
Me and Tony can handle there. It. You get in line. You seem like you can handle it. We are community. It is handled. Sorry, my back was itching. But no, I think it's
scratch that itch.
I always think about some of the first times that I went to like Europe, and just being in spaces that may not have even been queer, just like club spaces in Europe, making out with a guy and nobody gave a fuck. Mm-hmm. Or thinking like when Tony and I, when I went with Tony for the first time to like a circuit party, I was just like, all this freedom out here existing. Mm-hmm. Now it costs $100 to get into that freedom. And then there are a lot of other expenses involved. So there are financial barriers mm-hmm. to that space. But I loved it. And I wish that there was just more freedom, but yet privacy. Like, and I think that's like our community is so small and so tight knit sometimes. In New York, we all feel like we know each other. Even if we don't know somebody, you're like, I've seen her. Like, I recognize her, mm-hmm. like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it, sometimes it's hard to like be free when you feel like everybody knows you. Maybe not me, but like a lot of people feel like it's hard to be free around those who know you best and feel like they're going to take these experiences and it's going to be like the brunch talk for tomorrow.
Ooh, child.
Versus like,
it's gonna be, girl, guess who I saw last night?
Exactly. Versus like, if you see me, like I said earlier, if you see me, we're both here. Hey, girl, bye. This didn't exist. The end. Like, the, like that. That like, I
go
wish
on about your life. Leave me out of it.
Right.
Leave Tony, me out of it. What do you think, child?
No, I think one of the things that really sparked wanting to have this conversation was about the idea that our white counterparts show up unforgivingly. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I think I'm talking about just the stigma, the shame that comes with just the conversation around sex and how we were raised, how a lot of black folks are raised. And white people, they don't really have that. Like, they don't, they do, but I feel like they are less in a box and they allow themselves to get after it, whatever it is they want. And so they show up in that way where it can be very dominant, aggressive, like they're taking it. It belongs to
she's taking it.
and it's like with unforgiving. And I wish that we would have always felt such a way to be able to show up.
It's also like a product of environment and like
like
if you know that you likely won't lose your job, or you know mm-hmm. that you've paid to get into a space that has a barrier of entry if you're paying $100-$200 to get in, or if you know you are thousands of miles from home, which a lot of people of color may not be, mm-hmm. I think it also gives you that liberty. If you know you also live in a world still as a white cisgendered man, you just happen to be gay, like you still live with a level of privilege that there's a lot, you have a lot less to lose, or at least you feel like you have a lot less to lose.
Yeah.
So,
and as it relates to just like those spaces, those sexually healing spaces, they're supposed to be communities, right? Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be an understanding between everyone that's there so that you can feel safe. You can mm-hmm. feel like you can walk around and get your life and feel like you are dancing like no one's watching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when that, having that level of, I guess, like discretion mm-hmm. and keeping it in the confines of where we are, the environment,
right.
It's like leave it all on the floor.
Mm-hmm. What happens at the circuit stays at the circuit.
Exactly. So I feel like that is part of like keeping safe spaces safe.
Yeah, I agree. It's the discretion and just avoiding the kiss and tell. Mm-hmm. I can't, like, I remember vividly, like, people just, like, bringing up, not even in, like, sexual liberated spaces, but just talking about, like, sexual experiences in group settings. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just that lack of privacy that you're given to that partner.
Right.
Is just, it makes people not want to be as open, because this shouldn't be an opportunity for you to, like, go to the blogs and start talking about what you see
on Love B. Scott
the blogs. Oh,
like,
my goodness.
It's and I think that's the part that gets frustrating, right? Like mm-hmm. you love it when you can go into those spaces and you see somebody and it's just, hey, it's all love, you move on.
And it's not this thing where it's just like, I know what you did last summer. Like, it's not given that. And so, yeah, I think it's really just like discretion and allowing people to sort of explore and giving people permission to, because to Damon's point, that's a very good point, is that everybody doesn't have the luxury to be able to take themselves out of their environment or put themselves in, you know, different geographies or spaces that, you know, are more exclusive. Yeah. So just try to do that across the board, no matter where you are, I think is important.
Yeah. And all, but just in the, when we're talking about these spaces, right, and talking about how our white counterparts show up unforgiving, when the circuit party, when I was going, started going to circuit parties, it was predominantly a white queer space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now Black folks are coming around to wanting to be involved in circuit parties, and they're realizing how fun they are. Mm-hmm. There are spaces that are being created that are specifically for Black folks who have that circuit experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's because of like that shame and that stigma and how we were raised, like people are showing up to these spaces, carrying that baggage.
But the thing is, it's a learning curve, right?
Yes.
Like, I think that some people are new to the being in those type of environments that could be sexual and social at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all noticing more people of color showing up, which I love. It's just like being in the candy shop for the first time. It's like, all right, we're excited.
All this sugar.
We're excited.
Calm down. Don't get a stomach ache.
Let's be less excited next time.
let's be less excited. But no, even right.
So we can handle it.
So we can handle it.
But we need to.
But I distinctly remember us going out, and my fairy gay mother, Anthony, Miss Woodburn, she literally sent us a checklist of like, these are the things you do and don't do.
Yeah.
And don't put on too much lotion because you're gonna sweat, and don't put on X, Y, and Z. Random things that was like, you kind of need to, like you said, that learning curve. And if you don't have that, it's you're behind the learning curve.
so like, speaking about learning, what are things that you'd like to see a bit more of in these spaces? And what things would you like to maybe see a little bit less of?
So I can start with what I want to see less of.
Less.
So let me put my list out.
So scroll.
No, so that we can end on a high note. So what I would like to see less of, which still bothers me, just because you're in a sexually expressive or sexually liberated space does not give you the license to sexually assault me.
Hello. Consent still exists.
Consent still exists.
Consent is sexy.
Huh?
Consent is sexy.
Very.
Very.
Very. But coming up to me and not saying anything and just grabbing my private parts is crazy. Like, this is not that type of party.
Or is it?
There's a great chance
that you're gonna get laid
that is not a successful point of entry. And so I would like people to understand that there still needs to be some level of respect, and there always needs to be consent no matter where you're at. I mean, I don't know if there's like non-consent environments. I'm not on that radar. Right. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. But
the dark rooms of these places.
But I feel like there's consent. That's a whole thing.
Yeah. So anyway,
as I was saying,
but yeah, no, I think that's really important. Just making sure that you aren't overstepping those boundaries. And then what I would like to see more of is I would like to see a greater investment in environment.
You should go to Allegria.
So when we were in Berlin, like being in Berghain, because I know that we are going to get called out for mispronouncing it, but it was a beautiful environment. And like most aspects of my life, when I'm in a beautiful environment, I'm happier and I'm just in a better mood and things like that. And so
you're not down in the gutter.
I'm not down in the
gutter. Or you are down in the gutter in a beautiful
space. Gutter. Titanium gutter.
And that is the key. That's why I be staying at home, because these places don't be right. but
you are not on his level. Listen, you will never be on his level.
Give me bathhouse, but make it Soho house.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, give me the luxury Equinox experience.
Exactly. So that's what I would like to see more of. More architects and more
more architects
and more interior designers with a long pedigree coming in and turning these spaces out and making it very, very nice for me.
Yeah, shout out to the queer architects and designers, chat. Tony. I think what I want to see more of, or what I want to see less of, is kind of what we've been saying this whole time, is just the judgment. Reserve your judgment. Keep it to yourself. Realize that we're all in it together, and in it to win it.
I'm in. And win me.
And like, live in that moment. That's the fun. It feels like a utopia. You go. You can let your hair down. People go for different reasons. They have, like, some people go to just literally dance, just like to dance and have a good time. And let loose and be with their friends. And, you know, it doesn't need to be kitchen table talk. I mean, like, we all do our kitchen table talk, but I guess the kitchen table talk needs to stay in the kitchen.
Small kitchen.
Very small.
And don't be coming up to me outside of the big kitchen saying, like, girl, I saw you last week and you had a good time, didn't you? It was giving, girl, we are not Judy's. You can't.
We are not a group.
You're not a group. Please. So, yeah, much, much less of that sort of thing. And the consent thing, I didn't know you were going to go there, but that definitely is on the list. But what I would like to see more of is people being open-minded and people actually allowing themselves and giving themselves the space to experience these moments. Because I know that there's so many people that, like I said about myself earlier, I kept myself in a box. I didn't allow myself to have experiences and have certain levels of fun that I wouldn't have known otherwise. And so I hope that people get to that quicker in life so that they can have a much fuller life experience.
And look at you now.
Be look full.
And look at me now.
Look at you now.
She's so full.
Full. I'm full. My cup run is over.
What I'd like to see less of.
No. Okay.
Sometimes I would just like to go and be places and be a human that you don't know. So no, I am not on the podcast.
Anonymity.
When you are talking to me in certain spaces. Ain't you on that podcast? What podcast? Not tonight. Not tonight. We were at Halloween and I was in my little outfit.
I was in my little outfit.
Do not talk to Damon about the podcast in these environments.
Tony, Jordan, talk to them. I'm not on the podcast. And then what I would say more of is just like recognizing we're in it together.
Yeah.
I remember Tony and I were at an after event in Barcelona, ran into some people that we loosely knew from New York and had a great time just like even like hanging out after that in Barcelona and just no judgment. No like feeling like people running back saying whatever happened or did not happen. And that was nice. And I think another thing that I like, and you kind of referenced it, bringing up Anthony, when we're in these spaces, take care of each other. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, part of it, there are drug culture involved for some people. If you choose to participate, people may drink a lot. Whatever the combination of things, people may just have a dead phone and no way of getting in contact or getting home. Mm-hmm. And I like when, like, I've seen people like, are you having a rough night? You need some water.
Yes.
Anthony sent us that very detailed message about, like, if you do this, don't do that.
Right.
Make sure that you have cash to do X, Y, and Z or whatever. Protect yourself. Whatever the combination of things are, look out for one another and don't just be like, oh, child, she's over there having a time or whatever. Like, if you see somebody in need, like, it's about community at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I think maintaining that, no matter what the space is exceptionally important.
100%.
Preach.
Don't be the girl looking like, who? I mean, a lot. There have been times when it's like, who is this person's friend?
That person find their friends. If you see somebody that we loosely know, it's like, your girl's over here.
Come get your girl.
If you see Tony looking crazy, you better find me.
Please.
And if you don't, you in it too.
Put the bat signal up very high. Get me up out of this. Sunken place.
Sunken place.
And that is all the time we have this week. This season of Surface Level is presented by Mobi, Mobilizing Our Brothers Initiative. If you enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going. Let us know your thoughts and questions at surfacelevelpodcast.com. And remember, stay curious.